question, this is not the usual insight meditation day.
There will be some silence practice. We will practice some sitting and walking, but there will be also periods of interactive exercises. So it will be like an alternation between the two. And I really hope that you are willing and open to embark with me on this journey. And basically what my intention of in offering this day was, it's like really finding ways, you know, something I feel really passionate and interested about. It's like finding ways of how our practice can inform how we relate to our inner life, but also to the outer realities of the lives, of the times we are living in. You know, and we could say that we are living in very challenging, very uncertain, and even, you know, perilous times at the moment, you know, with the environmental devastation going on, you know, the expected mass extinction and so forth. And I won't say too much about it, but I will mention a little bit more throughout the day. And what I would like to offer today, it's one particular way into how our practice can inform our relation to this. It's one way. You know, and so much more can be said about it. It's like really just in finding a little entry into something. And I think I wrote in the description, this is the beginning of exploring, to really, really keep it in mind. Don't think that you go home and you will have the answer. But it's really for you, my intention is to inspire you, hopefully to trigger off some more reflection, start an inquiry, a live inquiry. So one of the precious aspects of Dharma practice is the invitation to look deeply. You know, with mindfulness and with awareness, we are asked again and again to pay attention to what is going on, to see more clearly. In one way we start to see more clearly is to see how our conditioned responses, our very often habitual ways of relating to experience, inner and outer, bind us, limit us, constrict us, you know, cause us dissatisfaction, dis-ease, suffering. You know, this is one of the core aspects of Dharma teaching. So in practice, we are asked again and again to trust the process, to look closer, to look deeper, getting in contact, being present. It's probably you all heard this before, isn't it? You know, open up to what is presenting itself. And maybe if I just ask you, who is anyone here who is completely new to insight meditation? Okay, so I hope it still makes sense. So what it was like to look deeper. Do you have some sense of meditation? Yeah, okay. And what you also probably hear quite a lot in the teaching is somehow this counterintuitive message is to meet wholehearted our experience, the bad, the good, the ugly, the beautiful, the nourishing, the challenging, is a door to liberation. So it's not about experiencing something else, but it's about looking deeper, understanding. And we see that mindfulness and awareness impute with a sense of kindness and curiosity and acceptance shines a light, first of all, how we are at times tossed around by our conditioned responses that are not helpful. You know, we start to see clearer. We see, oh, this response, this conditioned habitual way of relating to experience is actually based on a misconception, on wrong seeing, on not seeing clearly, on delusion. And again, you know, I could speak now hours about this particular strand, but I just mention it shortly here. And we start hopefully in practice that although we can feel at times overwhelmed and powerless in the face of what is arising in ourselves, of our painful patterns, of the uncertainty and challenges of our time, with practice, with this attitude of getting interested, curious, looking deeper, we actually also create space. We somehow disentangle ourselves. You know, we cultivate this, what is called the sense of non-identification, looking deeper, but we don't have to become what we experience. And with this, we can expand our range of perspectives. We can expand our range of responses. And we can more and more consciously choose ways of responding to what is arising that reduce suffering. Does it still make sense? I mean, this is basically, you know, what Dharma teachings are, to some extent, are about. In short, some short sentences. So in this way, I want to pick particularly the second part of what Dharma teachings point to. In this way, mindfulness and awareness reveal another very important aspect of this teaching. The possibility, this is again one way of phrasing it, the possibility we have as humans, this precious ability we have as humans to choose how we respond and how we relate. This is where we have freedom, not to what is happening. Every time we sit down for meditation, every time we do a walking meditation, we choose where we put our mind. We have an intention that we put our mind with a breath, that we rest our mind with a body, with the emotional life, whatever it might be. We choose where we put our attention. In practice, we also discover that we can choose and we can make a decision of what we are cultivating. You know, and this is really expressed in this cultivation and the whole teaching about the beautiful qualities of heart and mind as expressed in the divine abodes, you know, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy or joy and equanimity, or in qualities like appreciation, generosity, gratitude. And we begin to see more and more, once we actually really put our mind, our intention, nourishing, cultivating these qualities, knowing, you know, that's nothing that we have to reach out for because we don't have them, but really cultivating them in ways that we bring them forth from within, how they actually, having these perspectives, having these qualities present in our being, how they actually soften the being, how they soften the gaze, how they open up, how they basically take the suffering out of the situation. Just the presence of these qualities. And we can choose what kind of perspective we wish to nurture. And I think this is what I really want to work mainly or offer mainly, what I offer today is mainly about this. It's like choosing perspectives, choosing a story, a narrative which is meaningful for us. So through, again, through practice and reflection and contemplation, we can discover an aspect of ourself that could be called the connected, the interdependent, the interconnected self. You know, and it's so different from the message we get very often in our culture that we are these separate entities. We're not belonging, you know, not belonging, alienated. So we can experience the sense of interconnection, of interdependence, of connection in meditation, you know, that it's a real felt experience. But I think even without meditative insight, this perspective can be nurtured and developed. You know, we can consciously deepen our sense of belonging. We can consciously contemplate the truth of our interdependence and interconnection. And what I find quite helpful, so in my room, like 7 years ago, I ordered this photo of what was taken from the first human travel into space, you know, the Apollo 1 picture of the Earth. And for me, you know, just looking at this picture of planet Earth, you know, how can I believe that I'm not interconnected? You know, for me, it's like, how can I even think that I'm not belonging? Just contemplating this picture. So it's again one way of cultivating a certain perspective because it seems more wholesome, because it actually seems more true. Letting go of another perspective, it doesn't seem that true, which doesn't seem that wholesome. So one important benchmark of practice, I think, is that we increase our freedom, our space to choose responses. Say it once again. And over time that we can learn to step by step to abandon more and more those who do not serve us. Cultivating those who support us, who nourish us, and give us resilience. You know, and ultimately actually perspectives which free us, living in these times, living with our reality. And you probably know all in the hearts of your hearts that our conditioned habitual responses is most of us have, not all of you. I really want to also open up to this, you know, not all of you. So there are very, very human responses. They're very human. It's not so nothing we have to judge ourselves. They cannot really sustain us and nourish us on the long run. We just can't. You know, the denial, again, inner and outer life, I don't make a distinction at this point, the blaming, the judging, you know, the attempt to compensate, to pull for something pleasant, to not feel the pain, the closing down, the turning away. And this is very often expressed like a numbing down, a disinterest. So through practice, once again, we are invited to develop the capacity of our heart to open to our truth, to the truth of a situation. I think it's fine, Tom. And one part of our situation, one part of our truth is, of course, our inner, our personal truth, but it's also this wider perspective. You know, the devastation of the very fabric of what sustains life. And to know it's happening, and it's big. That's part of our truth. And I really don't want to be here like a doomsday sayer, you know, but if you actually take some energy and effort to really read all the different things which are around and being also open to read from people who are not of your opinion, you can't deny it's happening and it's big. You can't deny it. So we develop more and more the capacity to open up to our truth, to the truth of a situation, because we are interested to understand. We are interested to find out, to understand. And I think what comes with it, you know, we open up, we are more and more present. And my observation and my experience, and a lot of people report it in their practice, and since I'm practicing, I'm actually much more impacted. I feel more sensitive. You know, we feel more the pain of our personal reality and the truth of these times. You know, and when I now really emphasize more the pain part, it doesn't deny that there's also a lot of joy and good stuff in our lives. So just to keep this in mind. And to realize that there's actually nothing wrong to be impacted, to be sensitized. You know, to be impacted is actually a healthy response. It shows the responsiveness of our heart. It shows that actually through the connection with the truth of a situation, it also opens the possibility of compassion. You know, compassion is based on knowing one's connection, one's sensitivity. So this day I really would like to explore how can we develop our capacity to hold and respond to what is arising. And how can we approach practice as a way to open and to respond to what is happening, inner and outer, to the difficulties of our world. And I said, as I said before, with increasing understanding, we see more and more that we can actually choose a certain perspective. We can choose cultivations of beautiful qualities. We can actually also choose a story, a narrative we want to become part of. You know, and really not to underestimate the power of stories we tell us. And we tell us ourselves stories all the time. Every self-image we have about ourselves is a story we're telling ourselves. I can't do it. I'm like this. I'm like that. It's a story we're telling ourselves. So it's not about drifting into some kind of fantasy. But it's also to know that we can actually choose to some extent to become part of a meaningful story. And Joanna Macy, who is a long-term Buddhist practitioner and very, very engaged, and a lot of the practices I will offer today are based on her work. You know, she said, you know, in the moment, basically in the cultural narrative, you know, there are three stories operating now. I mean, there are much more, but she points out three particular stories we can take our stand in. One is business as usual. You know, we just continue like nothing is happening. The other is the great unraveling. So everything, you know, things are horrible. Things will unravel. You know, civilization will come to the end, and doom is upon us. And the third story is the great turning, and it is really the story of what are we asked here to do? What are our potential? What are different responses? What is sustainable? And probably each of us will stand at several times, maybe even during a day, in a particular story, believes this story. You know, business as usual, or it's actually not that bad, you know, just continue how it's doing, or, oh, it's all doomed, or the great turning. And it's not that we make the other, you know, that if we choose one story, that we make the other story less true. It doesn't mean that they're not true, but we can decide which story we want to give the energy to, which story we want to support, which story is wholesome and skillful. So it's about learning and supporting our connection to a story, to a narrative, to a perspective which is meaningful, and to give ourselves as fully to it as possible. So that this narrative, that this perspective can act through us and giving life to everything we are doing. So we can react to the truth of the times in many different ways, with a spectrum of very different possible responses. We can shrink from the challenge, blot it out, look away. We can respond with fear, anger, claim, hate. And again, not to make it wrong, but this is a response we can choose. And sometimes we don't have the feeling we can choose. And we can see it as a wake-up call. You know, and I really very much try to cultivate the perspective of seeing what is happening as a wake-up call to bring out the very best in us. You know, a wake-up call to cultivate what is beautiful about us. Our innate capacity for deep care, compassion. Our innate capacity for deep joy, for equanimity, for wisdom, for freedom. So we can choose, and again, we don't need to be perfect, not at all, you know, but we can choose more and more to draw out in any situation our best possible response so that we actually might surprise ourselves what we bring forth. So for quite some time, I would, and it was more like, you know, I was stuck in a situation, a very difficult situation, and it would trigger off all kinds of potential, a lot of habitual responses, you know, like closing down, hating, whatever. And I really made it a practice, not as, oh, you must be a good human being here, but just to ask myself, you know, what is the most compassionate response here right now? And it included myself and the other. So what is the most compassionate response here? Maybe I can't express it in this moment, but I just to put my mind there. So the question for us may be, what stories, what perspective, what do we want to give our energy? What do we choose to get passionate about? And only we as humans have this choice. So the day today is hopefully about giving really our heart and body and mind to a narrative, to a perspective that can make us feel alive, that has a sense of empowerment, because it's pointing to some of our beautiful potential. And before I start, I really want to dedicate this word, this day here together, to our transformation, and healing, and to the healing of the world. So, thank you. I just really wanted to set this set up our intention, you know, how it is connected to practice, to Dharma practice. And I would like to start now with a sit. So if you want to get up and maybe just move a little bit and stretch if you need to.